Oh my god, you guys are oiling your cuticle. Okay.
No, it's a legitimate fine. Thing. You have
to. And you have to too.
Okay, we can talk about that when we resume. Because I always thought it was just your segue, but no, you're actually doing it.
Hi, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanaticure, on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
All right, welcome back, everybody!
Hello.
It's time for the Lacquered Ladies. Sorry, I'm stretching, and also there's something in my eye at the same time, and so I'm just like doing very weird stuff in the camera.
There's flames on the side of my face.
Side of my face. Oh boy, how you doing, Danny?
I'm doing okay. February is a relief when it comes to the school year because January is so dang long. So February's nice. We got Valentine's Day. I got President's Day, you know, a super festive holiday to look forward to.
You're like, I want my day off, my mattresses.
Yeah, exactly. Man, we kind of need a new bed, a new mattress, and I'm not looking forward to mattress shopping. There's nothing more awkward than like laying down and a salesperson like looking over you being like, what do you think of this one? And be like, I can't concentrate on anything but this situation.
I would like you to step back, please.
Please step back.
Oh, you know, we all love the President's Day tradition of like buying as many mattresses as we can afford, yes. Filling an entire room with them.
Okay, so growing up, we lived near a little strip mall that had a mattress store in it. I don't quite remember the name of it, but me and my mom theorized that it was a money laundering scheme because we never saw anyone come in or out. Like it just, but it was always open. You know what I mean? Like it, all the other stores around it slowly like closed and degraded, but the mattress store had stayed. And we were like, what happens back there?
What dirty deeds happen?
What dirty deeds happen in the mattress store? Anyway.
Well, I think you should find out since, you know, President's Day is coming up. And
right? I should drive down there and just check, see if it's still there.
But yeah, I went to Universal Studios.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
It was fine. It was cold. We were tired. We only stayed for like 4 hours. I saw the Chicken Ranch, which is from my favorite movie, Best Little Bleep House in Texas. Which is literally my favorite movie. If you're 18 plus, it is mature, but it's not like that edgy. It's just, it's a comedy with, you know, what's her name?
Dolly Parton.
Thank you. Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. I love it.
It surprises me that there exists in a family friendly, supposedly family friendly theme park. What is the Chicken Ranch in Universal Studios?
They call it the chicken. Okay, so you do backstage tours. Like, you can do a backstage tour. And the thing about Universal is that it is family friendly, but Universal is not primarily, but they are like the horror big box company. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
When you like Universal Horror is a thing, they also have like Jaws. They also like, they say curse words in that park. It's not a Disney park.
Okay.
They don't really explain the Chicken Ranch for like what it's from necessarily. Like they do have like a set of clips they'll play for like movies it's been in.
Okay.
And they will show Best Little Bleep House in Texas. But like it's just like kind of to the side because it's just a set.
So it's just like looking at the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You can, like, play out your own scenes.
Yeah, you go through and you say, in, you know, there's, like, New York Street that, like, is in countless movies. Mm. And then, like, you just go see all the different sets. There's, like, a big downed plane from War of the Worlds. I haven't seen Jordan Peele's Nope, but I have been convinced I should. You could go through the entire ranch from that nowadays. Huh. And there's also, like, there's a Fast and Furious part, which is absolutely the dumbest thing, but I kind of love it for how dumb it is. But, like, you're like, act natural, we're going into a party. And, like, you're in the tram. You're in this giant tram with people and children, and you go into this, like, warehouse-looking building, and there's, like, projections of, like, hot babes dancing at a party. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to act natural. No one's going to notice me.
I'm going to blend right in.
My tram. And then you, like, then the tram, like, drives onto, like, basically a simulator. Mm. And this tram is big. And you go through, like, a big fight with, you know, The Rock and Vin Diesel and the chick that's from all those movies whose name I can't remember, but I think she was on Lost as well. And I liked her on Lost a lot. But anyway, my phone is, like, not off. Most of it is literally a studio tour.
Okay. I've never been to Universal, so I had no idea. I just kind of was picturing, like, rides, like a standard theme park or whatever, but that's really cool.
It's honestly, Universal Studios, they're doing way better at Disney than Disney at making compelling attractions and lands. And then also, there's, like, the theme park part, and then you just get on the tram tour, and it's an hour-long tour.
Mm.
And so it's just both.
That's so cool. I love that.
I love it. It's super cool. Anyway, she has been waiting for too long. We have a special guest today. Today, we are interviewing my friend and a swatcher and just all around bad boy / girl. Quality Nails, Stacey. Stacey, how are you doing?
Hello, hello. I am doing well. I'm actually swatching right now. But
she never stops working.
But I'm ready for your questions, interview, chatting, talking.
Well, I guess we have to start with, what's your favorite Universal attraction? Because being that you are in California with Stephanie, I'm assuming you all go there every day. Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I think the last time I went to Universal was in, like, 2017. Mm. I don't even remember. Like, to be honest, I don't even know if they still have the same Jurassic Park ride, but that was always my favorite one.
Actually, I was just talking to Danny earlier about the Jurassic Park ride, because they changed it to Jurassic World.
Oh, that was what changed. Okay.
Yeah, and there's 100% more Chris Pratt in it.
They turned that little dial all the way up.
Yeah, they always had it there. They didn't know what it did.
Yeah.
They're like, what does this button do? And they're like, ah!
It's Chris Pratt everywhere.
But actually, I think you would enjoy it, because I was really worried, because, like, the first thing I saw was a big old screen. Like, there's, like, a tank with, like it looks like a big glass tank, but it's actually, like, screens. And you see, like, a big old dinosaur eat a shark. But after that, there were no more screens, except for a few moments of Chris. I can't say his name normal anymore. I have to pronounce it Chris Rat now. And I don't know if I'm ever going to go back.
Where did that come from?
Because his name, if you just move the P to the first name, it's Crisp Rat.
Oh, Crisp Rat. Oh, I see. Okay.
So I call him the Crispy Rat a lot of times. But even I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I keep calling him Crisp Rat.
I mean, crispy is a nice word. I like that word a lot.
Crispy is so. The opposite of moist, which is nice.
Yeah, I think crispy just makes it sound better. Like, mm-hmm. I would not eat rat, but I don't know, when you call it a crispy rat, it sounds better.
It sounds a lot better.
I feel like if I were going to eat a rat, I would deep want fried. It crispy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only way to go.
Yeah. This whole conversation got a lot weirder faster than I thought it was going to.
Welcome
but
to the podcast.
I would definitely, I think, like, if I had to, I agree with Danny, I'd have to eat, like, a crispy rat, like, fried sandwich or something. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, that's the interview, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
So Stacey would eat a crispy rat sandwich, and that's all we need to know. Yeah, I'm very happy that you've just entered the groove of the two lockers.
So, Stacey, Quality Nails. First of all, cutest username ever. Love it. Can you tell us your nail polish journey? When did you get into polish and when did you get really into polish?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think I've always liked nail polish. Like, I've never been like a makeup girl, you know? I don't ever wear makeup unless like I absolutely have to, which is not really anymore. So I want to say that like my earliest memory maybe is that my best friend, she's a few years older than me. So she was in high school and she bought Crackle nail polish. So I remember like she had done this like, I mean, honestly to me, it was pretty complex, but she basically had done like sort of like a bunch of lines of like neon colors on her nail. And like, think just vertical lines. And then she put Crackle over it. So it looked a black Crackle. So it looked like there was just like all these different colors under her nail because of the Crackle effect. And I was like, that is so cool. I want that on my nails. So she did do my nails and I had like a little mini phase where I went with her to like Chinatown and we went to like a cheap like nail polish, makeup beauty store or something, and we just started buying a bunch of nail polish. And I don't remember whatever year like Hunger Games the first one came out, whatever year that was, we went to that beauty store and I bought like some of the China Glaze collection that had come out like with it in collaboration. And I was so obsessed with this, like, matte drying, like, stone-colored polish because I thought it looked like stone and it was so cool. So I wore that nail polish a lot along with, like, a green from that collection, too. And those were probably my first nail polishes with, like, fill lines on them. I don't know where they are now. I think my mom has them, but... yeah, I want to say, like, honestly, I kind of fell out of it, and I would buy nail polish occasionally, but I wouldn't really put it on very often. And then, like, cue me being in college, my friend was like, hey, have you ever watched Jenna Marbles? And then I went down that, like, I don't know, I feel like when you find Jenna Marbles, you find Sophia Nygaard, and you find Simply Nail Logical.
Yep.
Yeah, the pipeline.
That's exactly how it happened.
Jenna Marbles, the Simply Nail Logical pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really is the pipeline, exactly. So, I started watching Simply Nail Logical because I was like, wow, she reminds me so much of Jenna Marbles in like, I don't even, honestly, like now they don't seem similar to me at all, but at the time I was like, wow, they're the same person. And then then obviously she's very into nail polish, so I was kind of getting more interested, still not buying anything. And then in 2019 was it, I think, when she released Holo Taco, I was like for Christmas I'm gonna get one coat black. And then that was really when it like was starting. And then COVID happened in 2020 and I was like, I like nail polish. So
that's something happened to all of us in 2019, 2020, and we were all like, we like nail polish now. And we just,
yeah,
so that's so fun that we all have a similar pipeline.
Yeah, no, literally, it's so funny because I feel like so many people have the same like eventual fall into it, because like there's very few people who I feel like have like been into nail polish for like more than the last 5 years.
Yeah, we have a couple in our audience, and it's always interesting to hear from them because they're almost like the historians. They can tell us about
exactly.
The before times.
Yeah,
and then we have all us like pandemic baby polish babies.
yeah we're all pandemic babies. I think of like mediocre Manny/Hillary as being one of those like historians, because she has so much nail polish, and And she has been into it for, like, I don't know, twice as long as me at least. So I find, like, her story impressive of how she got into nail polish versus myself, who was, like, in 2020, I was having a crisis and not having hobbies. And so I bought the whole rainbow collection from Hollow Taco and then found Kelly Marissa and devolved into buying, like, 100-plus nail polishes in a year.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. I'm glad that, yeah, we all have the same story. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's actually how, I met Stacy. Is Stacy and I were both in the, Kelly Marissa, Patreon, and then we're in a Discord together. And then I just thought Stacy was so freaking funny. Cause she is.
And to this day, I still can't believe it because, like, Kelly had this, like, unofficial Discord group that I eventually left for personal reasons. And I think at that point, Stephanie reached out to me, like, out of the blue and was just like, hey, I think you're really funny. Let's be friends, basically. And I was just like, who are you? Wait.
Who are you? Wait a minute.
I recognized her, like, icon on Discord. It's pretty recognizable to me. And I always thought it was, like, a super weird icon. And I was just like, where is that from? And I think you said it's, like, Final Fantasy or... Okay.
Yeah. If you are familiar with Final Fantasy 14, it is me and my husband as our Final Fantasy characters in chocobo outfits, wearing the fat chocobo heads, and like our noses are touching. Yeah. If you're in the Fanaticure Discord, I have just like my normal Fanaticure logo that you see on YouTube or Twitch or whatever. But yeah, if I message you privately, I have a different name.
Yeah.
I have this weird icon.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just kind of like, who is this, like, person who's reaching out to me with, like, two chick heads kissing? And it's like, why are they realistic chick heads? I don't understand. Because I'm completely, you know, unaware of Final Fantasy 14 or, like, anything else. At all. So obviously that was one of my first questions and she explained it and I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense now. But I did recognize her. So I knew she was from the group. I just was so taken aback because she wasn't like as active as other people. So I was like, she's just lurking and she and silently reading.
Lurking and silently reading does not sound like my general MO, but I guess it was this time.
Well, I think while I was still in that Discord group, that was when you had made the ASMR for me, right?
Yeah.
So she'd made an ASMR, and I don't recall, was it you that was like, you had made me an ASMR thing, and then you spoke in like your regular voice or something? Like,
yes.
Something happened where I was just completely taken aback, because... You know, when you listen to ASMR, you expect a pleasant experience where everything is quiet and nice. So you put your volume at full volume. And if any of you know Stephanie, she's full volume all on her own. So I had a heart attack. But
yeah, just the stamping plate part was ASMR, not the rest of the video.
Yeah. Well, the whole video, it's on my YouTube. I'll link to it. And I'm actually thinking that that's actually on the short list of things I'm going to make this week for YouTube. Because I have literally right here, this is another stack, Stacy, of CADS plates.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
So I actually have more to do. But then I think that, so I did the ASMR and then I did another video that I don't think I posted anywhere except for to like share. With this group, I was just going over the weirdest stamping plates. Because this is the time I got Metamfim. I got the weird dinosaurs. I got the hand grenade plate that said hand grenade in two different fonts. And I didn't think it needed even one. I got all of those this time. And so, like, I did the ASMR. And then I did this, like, 1.5 minute video of just me going like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. And that one was full volume and Stacey was not expecting it.
Yeah, I knew there was something. I knew there was something. Because I trusted you.
That's your first mistake.
That's all.
That's your first, that's your first mistake. Your first mistake, Mr. Bond. Actually, I'm doing Mr. Bond's voice. Two Sean Connerys fighting. I also did, and it was, this was not necessarily in trying to court you, but I knew that it would, I knew you would like this or dislike it terribly. Because I love just disturbing Stacey. I love disturbing her peace.
But where is going?
Well, for a 4th of July, for April Fool's, I like posted to the Discord. I had painted my nails like almost up to like the second knuckle. And I was like, doesn't it look good? And like, of course there were nice people because there always are. I'm often done, but I'm like, oh, it looks great. Like Stacey was just silent. And then the next day I was like, wait, she was like, thank God.
I am not a part of the community that is very, like, super supportive of, like, and it's just, it's not even, like, you know, if some people are inexperienced with nail polish, I get it, you know, like, my first man, like, all of my 2020 and 2021 manis are honestly horrible, in my opinion, like, that's how I see them, and seeing Stephanie, who is like a very talented nail artist, do a horrible job. That was a horrible job. It's not, you know, there's no inexperience there. Like, you don't get the sympathy.
You know better.
Exactly. She does know better. And I was like, even if you were trying to, you know, skip clean up, there's no gradient here. Like, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness. That's so funny.
So yes, that's Stacey and I's love story.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So Stacey, you have risen to become quite the prolific swatcher for a lot of different brands. Can you give us an insider's view on swatching? Did you reach out or did brands reach out to you? Like, what's your swatching story?
Yeah, I think prolific is a very nice word to use. I think I reached out like to a ton of brands, and I feel like that's, you know, one of the things that maybe people don't realize is that unless you're like, you know, like the cream of the crop, kind of like Anchi's Nails, you know, or Painted Queen, you know, people who are just like really, really well known, it's not as often that you hear randomly like in your DMs from a brand asking you to swatch for them. Mm. So I think like out of all the brands that I've swatched for, I think really only one reached out to me, and I'm not even remembering who it was right now. But for a lot of them, for example, I swatched for Sassy Sauce at some point, and it was, you know, I had filled out her blogger application, and then I just like did a couple of follow-up emails like, hey, I'm interested, I sent this to you, and she was like, oh yeah, I'll send you my stuff for the next couple months. So she did that for, I think, like last March, April, May, she sent me her stuff. And then there was Noodles. I really like Noodles nail polish. I like Natalie, the like maker. She is just like a really kind person. I think she's very sweet. I think she's very kind. And she even sent me a Christmas gift this past Christmas, which I thought was very sweet of her.
That is sweet.
Yeah, and it was, like, a very thoughtful gift. I just, you know, it wasn't just, like, a bunch of, you know, like, candy and, like, random trinkets, right? Like, she got me, like, a like, 40-ounce tumbler, you know? that and that was, you know, actually really appreciated, like stuff like that. Anyway, I'm getting off tangent. So, I had applied to her, I want to say like the end of 2021, and she reached out to me on my birthday last year, actually asking if I wanted to start swatching for her. And she basically just like broke it all down for me. And yeah, ever since, she just kind of like, she still just reaches out and like asks me every single time. And that tends to be how it works with like pretty much any brand, is they always say like, hey, I'm releasing X and Y, this next 2 or 3 months. Do you want to swatch any of it? And I used to be like, very like, oh yeah, I'll do it all. I'll take it all. And I realized that that was very, not working for me. Because when you say yes to everything, you end up with like 20 or 30 things that you have to swatch, and they all have like a due date in like 2 or 3 weeks. And then it, you can do it, but it's very stressful. And like, even if you try to rush it, it just, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't like, especially if like a lot of swatch opportunities end up not being paid, which I know is like a little bit controversial for some people. They want to get paid for their work. And I get it. Like, I want to be paid for my work too. But at the same time, I understand that not everyone's got the budget for it. Yeah. So yeah, it's just kind of like picking and choosing what you can do and seeing who says yes to you. And that was honestly really all I did, was just seeing who said yes to me. And more people said yes than I expected, which was nice. Like, swatching for Night Owl Lacquer has been really cool, because I really, like, I think of their brand, like, very highly. You know, I see them in PPU every month, and I'm just like, well, I can't believe I swatch for Night Owl sometimes. Or, you know, or Cupcake Polish. Cupcake Polish is really cool for me, too.
Some of these, like, kind of bigger indie brands. It's,
exactly, yeah.
It's exciting. We get so excited whenever we see your swatches in PPU. Like, I feel like I know a celebrity. I'm like, oh my god, I know a PPU swatcher.
I mean,
it's so cool.
Yeah, I feel the same way. On, like, if I go on PPU and I'm, like, trying to decide what to buy, I still will go to, like, the ones that I know I swatch for, just to see where I am at. But, of course... I think, like, everyone is also just, like, their own biggest enemy, where, like, I see my swatches and I'm like, oh, I could have done better. Like, I don't, this isn't, you know, the best, like, swatch I've seen. I don't know, I'm very critical of myself every time I see it.
Have you ever gotten, like, negative feedback from a brand, or specifically positive feedback from a brand?
I mean, I don't think any maker has ever told me anything negative. And I mean, if they thought something negative, they definitely didn't tell me, which I appreciate, because I think that would just be horrible for me. but positive feedback, yeah, all the time. I, once again, Natalie from Noodles, she is always, you know, sending me an email back after I submit my swatches of like, thank you so much, I love these, or these are beautiful. She's a hype person all the time, and so that's why I love swatching for her, amongst many other reasons. She always hypes me up, even if I don't love my own swatches.
That's awesome.
But yeah, not like, honestly, not hearing back is like pretty normal, I think, like once you submit your swatches. But Cupcake also will always try to reply and be like, thank you so much, I love them, or whatever. So it is appreciated when they email you back and they're like, oh, thank you so much. Witch Cult does it a lot too. Honestly, I feel like everyone does it. But if they don't, it's no big deal.
Very cool. So you kind of built in already my next question of, any tips for beginner swatchers or people who are trying to get into swatching? So you've already said, like, reach out to brands first and be aware of deadlines and what you can handle. But is there anything else that people who want to get into the swatching game should know about?
I think something that it has been recommended to me even is just, you know, if there's like a brand you really like, which I'm sure you guys have seen it too. If there's a brand you really like out there that you really want to receive PR from, honestly, I would suggest like doing a couple of, like, just watches of stuff you already have from them and posting that, like, more consistently and, you know, tagging them, because then even if you're the one reaching out, when they see, you know, your samples, a lot of the stuff that you have is going to be from them, or a lot of the more recent stuff, so they can see, like, how much you already support them, because I think that that can matter for, especially, like, the, like, bigger brands that maybe don't see you as often, or if you're a really good, like, nail artist, like Stephanie, showing off your nail art, I think, too, would probably help, because sometimes brands really like having, like, the additional, like, swatches of, like, showing how to do a nail art for real, and oftentimes those opportunities end up being paid to do those types of reels or nail art. So, yeah, I think that, and I guess not so much advice, but maybe just, like, keep in mind that something that took me a long time to really, I guess, understand is that being a swatcher is not the same as being a content creator. Just because you're a swatcher does not mean that you're going to, you know, like, rise to fame and everyone's going to, like, love your swatches kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of being a swatcher is, like, literally, like, what actual swatching is, which is you're there to, like, show the customer what the nail polish looks like on somebody's hand, and hopefully you can show it in a way where, like, if they bought it, they'd be like, wow, this is how it looks in the photo, because this is, like, you know, they took a photo that really represented it, not, you know, looking like super polished or super refined, but it looks exactly how I would expect it to look on a regular average consumer. So, yeah, just keeping in mind that, you know, even if you're, like, even if you don't have, like, a huge following, you can still be a swatcher, and don't take to heart if you don't have, you know, 10K plus followers. I think I have, like, 1500, maybe even less than that. And, like, I still get to swatch for a lot of brands, I would say. So, you know, yeah, don't get discouraged.
And when you started swatching, you had, well, I mean, obviously it's been time, but you were, like, I think, weren't you under 1,000 at that time?
Yeah, I think when I started swatching, I had 800 followers.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the follow count really doesn't matter when it comes to, like you said, reaching out to brands and producing, you know, good work, timely work.
Yeah.
That's more important. It's more of a business side of it than it is a social media side of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I just, I know that, like, for me personally, I felt like I was letting myself be too affected by, oh, this post only got, you know, 20 likes or something. And that's something that for me has been very common. But I realized, like, unless I'm trying to make money off of my actual Instagram account versus, like, pursuing swatching, it's really not that big of a deal. As long as, you know, as long as the brand is happy, as long as you're happy, and, like, they're getting, like, their swatches, ultimately they're going to be the ones advertising those pictures. A lot of brands don't require you to post their swatches, so you don't have to do that. Some do. Generally, they do pay you if there's, you know, more requirements, but sometimes they don't. So, yeah, make sure you take that into consideration when you accept swatching opportunities, too. But, yeah, I would say for the most part, they don't require you to post anything, so it's not the end of the world if you're not getting as much engagement as, like, someone else.
Yeah, so it sounds like you are providing them a service. You are providing them content.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not expecting you to hawk it to your followers and make them sales.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're asking you to swatch for them because they like your photos, not because you have, you know, 10K followers or 100 plus likes. Like, yeah, I know some brands probably do take that into consideration. So it's just, it really depends on, like, what world you're trying to get into. If you want to be, like, one of those, you know, like, top tier, well-known, super well-known swatchers, then, yeah, you're going to have to get into that content creation life. But yeah. It really just depends, you know.
So I have a question. What keeps you going as a swatcher? Why keep doing this? What appeals to you about continuing being a swatcher? Like, what are the biggest pros for you about being a swatcher?
I would say, obviously, like, there's the given one, which is you're getting free nail polish. Like,
heck yeah.
Look, everyone needs to admit it. Okay, getting free nail polish is nice. It comes at a cost sometimes, though, because then you sometimes, you know, we all know they're not all winners. So sometimes you end up with colors that, you know, don't suit you, and then you have nowhere to put them. But I would also say that I just generally enjoy, like, for me, it brings me joy to be able to, like, get good photos, and honestly, like, getting the praise from, like, even just my friends of being like, wow, your nails look really nice, or like, I really like the photos that you take. Like, all of my friends basically, even if it's jokingly, like, refer to me as like an influencer, or like tell me that that I'm really good with like nail polish and stuff, and that just, you know, is generally like, obviously, it makes me feel really good about myself. And I think that I don't think I've ever had like a hobby that made me feel like I'm, you know, really good at something. And this is like the first thing that kind of made me feel like I'm really good at something. And so I enjoy swatching because I enjoy like sharing my swatches, even if it's not like me directly sharing them. I appreciate that other people are appreciating them, and I've also enjoyed like making friendships with some of the brands, like Sweet and Sour Lacquer. Darlene, I love her. I honestly, like, I consider her a friend. I love seeing her at Polish and Beauty Expo every year, and I just think she's like really cool, and she's really funny. And I like being able to, you know, like, get to know her as a person, and then also be able to help her out by like swatching something. And like, she's always been really great about like, maybe if it's short notice, like for her, short notice is like, hey, I need this swatch in 2 weeks, which honestly to me is like not too bad if it's, you know, one nail polish, but she's always been very kind. She always tries to pay her swatchers and stuff like that. So regardless, like, even if she wasn't paying me, and she just like needed somebody to get the swatch done, like, I like being able to, you know, be that friend and like be there for her and like provide her those swatches if she needs them. And that goes for like, honestly, like the other brands I swatch for too. I like all of the makers that I work with. So if they, like, if any of them ever reached out to me and asked me, I would be open to it, because it's not like they're asking me to swatch, you know, in a week's notice every single collection. It's only occasionally. So I, you know, like, building those friendships with like the makers and like being able to do them that favor again, it just like, I guess it's like validating. It makes me feel good about myself to be able to, you know, do something I enjoy and also help somebody out at the same time. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's why I continue swatching, aside from my just, you know, general love of nail polish and collecting, because we all know that collecting nail polish has been proven to be a different hobby from, you know, wearing all of them.
Yes, 100%.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I love collecting nail polish, and this definitely helps me get there, wherever that end goal is.
Yeah, we'll definitely ask more about your collection in the second half, but for now I think is a good time to oil our cuticles, us and the audience.
Yep, everybody get your oil. Start wrestling. All right, we are going to oil them cutes, as Danny says, and then we come back, and then we come back. And when we come back, we are going to have some more questions for Stacey, aka Quality Nails. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to tell you that I'm taking the week off of streaming and YouTube to get my house fumigated. Yay! If you can't stand the thought of living without my streams for a week, be sure to join my Discord where you can follow up on the shameless self-promotion channel to see who's online and even tell us what you're up to. Just remember that the Discord is for listeners over the age of 18. Also, if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on Patreon where you can be a lackey. That's L-A-C-Q-U-I, lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast. And now, back to the show. Okay, we are back, everybody. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving. And we are here with Quality Nails, our special guest. And we have even more questions to, to force upon her.
So, Stacey, we were just talking about swatching and how one of the biggest appeals of swatching, and definitely something I see people as their reason for wanting to get into swatching, is nail polish collecting. Because, as you mentioned, it is a different hobby from nail polish wearing. So I would love to know all about your collection, how you manage it, how you keep it in a contained area, if you do. Like, so your de-stashing process. Tell us everything.
Yeah, so you may be familiar with my process because you know one mediocre Manny. She actually gave me her Excel spreadsheet at my request because I hated the idea of making an Excel. It just, the entire task seemed so daunting because at the time I think I was at I was already at like 1200 nail polishes, so recording all of them just seemed horrible. And I've seen her spreadsheet. Her spreadsheet is so detailed, like too detailed in my opinion, but that's Hillary though. She's very detail oriented, but I was basically like, can I steal that and just delete some of the columns that you use? So she was like, okay, sure. And I deleted, because she had like, she's crazy. She literally had like a column for if she swatched the polish yet or not. Yeah. And I think even a column for how many times she's worn it. And I was like, I'm not crazy like you. So I'm deleting that. And I kept brand, collection, polish, color, finish, notes, by price, by date, and from, which in my opinion is still a lot of columns.
I was about to say, that's still too much.
but I deleted like four or five columns. I feel like, I don't know, she keeps track of literally everything. So it's because I kept the notes section because she was using it as like a, like, oh, it's a pink flaky, but it's also magnetic. So for magnetic, that's like a special effect. So I put the special effect in like the notes section, and then that helps me kind of keep track. It's not fully organized because I was also trying to add like, reflective on there, but now that reflective is literally like, nobody makes a polish without adding a dash of reflective in it at this point.
Right.
And not that I mind, you know, like some, like Dom nail polish makes some of the best reflectives I've ever seen in my life. But anyway.
Grandpa's Garden is one of my favorite polishes. It's reflective.
Yeah. And at the time I was like, hey, Hillary, you want to be super fun if you help me. So I literally, and you know, because she loves organizing, she was like, wait, that actually sounds like so much fun. So I would literally like call her when I got out of work, and we'd both be on the spreadsheet, like have it open. And I would just like go one drawer at a time and just like pull something out and be like, okay, we're working on Cirque colors now, like Cirque Maria Maria, and she would type it in, and then I would give her the color it was. And it was just kind of like, it was just really fun because, you know, there's, I don't know if anyone's familiar, but like mediocre Manny's has no sense of color. And She thought orange was pink, so like let's just sit with that for a minute. But
she's gotten so unsure about herself. I didn't realize, by the way, that all of that was coming from you, but I should have known that you were the one telling her that she has no sense of color.
Okay, I'm not the only one.
I'm proposing that you and Hillary get together, and you know how they have those like home organization shows? We'll need to do go around to different nail polish collectors and like redo. You do the like aesthetics and the colors and stuff, and she does like the organizing side of it, and it would be, come start with me, please.
That sounds like that would be a lot of fun.
It would be amazing. I would watch it. I would watch every episode.
In her yellows video, she was holding up a yellow that was just like so clearly yellow. And she's like, I know people are going to tell me this is orange. And I'm like, girl, who?
Yeah. I don't remember what the polish was, but I was like, yeah, who?
Yeah.
Who thinks that's orange?
I think it's so funny that she started to see like and doubt every color she saw. I remember, like, I know this is kind of a tangent now, but I remember that I posted Pantone's Color of the Year or something, and I was like, because it's peach, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, isn't this such a, like, beautiful pink or something like that? And then I tagged Hillary, and then Hillary reposted me, and then she messaged me, and she was like, do you know how many people have told me that you're wrong? And I've then had to tell them that I'm actually the one who thought it was pink. So I'm like, your fans just think they're doing you a favor by being like, don't listen to Stacey, she's dumb. And it's like, actually, Hillary's the dumb one. Oh, man. Sorry. I had to drag her at least a little bit, you know?
I'm glad, because I need people to understand the relationship on this podcast. You two have become such close friends, and it just warms my heart every time I experience a bit of it. I'm like, I love them.
Yeah, literally, like, as I was preparing for this podcast, I messaged her, and I was just like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how mean to you am I allowed to be? And she said a hard 7, so I hope that was, you know, adequate.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that might have been a little under 7.
That was like 6. That was like 6. A 6.
Yeah. A soft 6, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, organizing.
Yes.
So, the whole point of that was just that there was some polishes that we had in common. And I just remember there being like a couple where I was like, why did you put this as blue? It's obviously green or something like that. And so I had to change a couple of things on my end to match what I felt was right versus what she felt was right when she had organized it. But overall, it was just like really fun to go through most of them. I ended up doing a couple of drawers on my own because at the end of the day, it's hard to get on the same timeline when you're 3 hours apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did help me with a good chunk of it. And I think by the time I finished, I like couldn't believe it. You know, it was a little sad to be like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
And now, if anything, it feels a little more daunting when I get like something new and I'm like, oh, I have to open up the spreadsheet and put in all this information. But at the same time, it's fun to like, for me, it's fun to have that information and be like, mm-hmm. oh, I bought this on December 1st, or, you know, I received this as PR on like March 10th or something, you know, I don't know.
I think that's cool.
No, yeah, I found that creating and keeping up with a spreadsheet has been incredibly useful for content creation. So if you ever do like want to make videos and content creation and stuff, having your stuff organized is very helpful.
Yeah. And it also, like, I know Hillary did this at PBE, but I realized how helpful it is to be like out in, you know, out in the wild and you're like wanting to buy something. And you find something, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then I end up looking on my spreadsheet and I'm like, oh, I already have this, you know, and it doesn't require me to be like, oh, I guess I should wait till I get home and like look through my drawers, because this is a part where I'm not organized and I don't have any formal organization for my Helmers whatsoever. I don't have like a specific ABC. They're not color coordinated. The only thing that is coordinated is the brand. So the brand stays together and that is the extent of it. But you can bet that like my Wildflower lacquer is in the same drawer as like my Swamp Gloss, which is, you know, completely different letters. No correlation.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. It's a brand, and if I don't have enough brand to fill up an entire drawer, it's brand and bottle shape.
I used to kind of keep the like polishes that were like special to me in some way on shelves, but I recently rethought that because I thought it doesn't make sense to put on display my favorite nail polishes where they can be exposed to light or more separation, and I was like, discoloration just doesn't make sense. So now they have all returned to drawers where they are being well kept in the cold and dark. So yeah, but now I just have like my boxes and stuff on display. So Renzo, the polish, has returned to the drawers.
I made a polish for Stacy called Renzo, and it was inspired by her dog Renzo. And it was like a tan cream with a white shimmer, right?
Yes, yes. And that's literally his coloration. And if anyone doesn't know Renzo, he doesn't have an Instagram, but he will occasionally make an appearance on my Instagram. And he's an angel / gift from God. Anyway.
Can confirm, like, this is Stacy's dog, of course, a little chihuahua named Renzo. And I love him. And if I am near Renzo, I just want to hold him. And
he's not like other chihuahuas.
He's not. He's not. He's an angel. Yeah. Like you said, he is an angel. And I love him. And when Stacy comes over, she brings him. And he's so gentle around my kitties. And we're trying to get him and Shepherd to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Slow. Yeah. Slow going, but
we'll get there.
Yeah.
So do you have any goals for your collection? Like, do you want to keep as large of a library as possible, or do you want it more curated? And if you want it more curated, how do you handle destashing?
Yeah, that's tough because I have no idea how many I want to keep. I know that even though it's not entirely realistic, in the back of my head, I think, like, sure, I'll wear most of these someday. So I've kind of just looked at some of them and been like, you know, I don't really love this anymore and I want to set it aside. But the tough thing with destashing is that you end up losing a lot of money, I think. Like, I don't feel like most of them pay off, like, unless you have some special polish from like BKL or Ethereal or something. Like, I don't think people really care too much to pay even near full price, even if you're discounting down. So it's very trial and error for me. I've sold some on Mercari. I've sold some on the Facebook group, the Nearly No Rules one, but I literally will just like keep discounting down until somebody buys that. But I've found that indie brands tend to like sell better than, you know, more mainstream stuff. Even if it's still an indie brand, like Cirq, I feel like nobody wants to buy Cirq, even though it is still an indie. I guess because they're just so accessible, it doesn't make sense for people, but that's, you know, that's just a guess. But I feel like if I sell like polish or polish for days or like night owl lacquer, like people are more interested to kind of like take a look and maybe consider it if I'm selling it at like, I don't know, $8. But yeah, I think the only nail polishes I've really destashed have been ones that I knew would sell for a little bit more. Like, there was like a Golden Girls polish I had from Wildflower that I was able to sell. And even then, that one, I think I sold it for $25. Like, it's nothing super super crazy. I don't think I, well, actually, I think I do have one nail polish that, you know, might sell really well, but I would never sell it.
Which one?
Which one?
It's called Panda Painter. It's from Wildflower Lacquer, and it was part of, I think it was like a wild animal theme from Charity Box, if anybody remembers the Charity Box.
I do, vaguely.
Prior to its demise. Yeah, I bought it from there, and Charity Box was really small to begin with, so I want to say, like, a lot of makers really only, you know, it was smaller than HHC. I'm trying to think of something to compare it to, but I think it was in its own realm where, like, people would sell, like, 100 to 150 cap or something like that. So there wasn't a ton of, like, Panda Painter made, and it's just, like, I know everybody hates this word, especially Nick's polish and Hillary, but Blurple. It was a Blurple color.
I like Blurple because, like Hillary, I struggle with colors, and sometimes I'm like, it's an in-between. It is Blurple. So I might someday have a Blurple drawer, and they can hate it all they want. It's legitimate.
Okay, let's just cut out this small section and send it to Hillary. Blurple.
Here's the thing is that here's my defense of Blurple. People say it's not Blurple, it's indigo. And what I say to those people is that indigo is a specific color and not all Blurples are indigo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go.
Periwinkle would be a Blurple. You know what I mean? Like, there's shades within Blurple, but it's its own category.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to send you guys a photo of Panda Painter. And I think it's tough to say it's indigo because it's like one of those that has like a blue and purple shift. But in some lights, it kind of looks both. And it's not quite, you know, it's not quite either or.
No, yeah, it's definitely not indigo. It's really cute.
Yeah, super cute.
It's Blurple.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love that color. Like, that's why I bought it.
Yeah.
And because Charity Box kind of fell out, like, I feel like all makers were kind of like in this weird, like, oh, maybe we don't talk about Charity Box or the nail polishes we produced for it kind of thing. So I know that at some point somebody asked, like, hey, since Charity Box is no longer a thing, like, could we possibly bring back Panda Painter? And I don't remember if they ever addressed it, really, but I think it kind of just, like, died there.
That sucks. What the heck?
Yeah, so maybe it's, like, a pigment issue, like, maybe it's no longer available, but it is a really beautiful polish, and I'm glad that I have a bottle of it, because I do know it is very sought after, and it's just, like, it's one of those things where there's just not that many of them.
Yeah. I think Wildflower, Bee's Knees, and I feel like maybe one other brand, are especially, they have some polishes that are especially sought after in the de-stashing world, and, like, a little cult following for these brands and stuff. And it's cool to learn a little bit of the lore. I think nail polish lore is really interesting.
No, I do too. Like, I think it's, for me, it's, like, fun to be, like, one of the people who has this highly sought after polish, you know? Because it's not common. I mean, like, that's the whole reason it's sought after, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I had BKL Lion, but unfortunately I do not.
Yeah. Is it Lion with a thorn in its paw?
Was that a polish pickup polish? I know its sisters were. Okay, because I remember looking at that and being, I like, it's just so funny looking back at our, because we play bingo every month and we see all the polish pickup choices and stuff. And, you know, often we'll just be like, meh, or whatever. And then the polish will, like, blow up and we'll be like, oh, man.
Like, oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, that for me was the frustrating part, is that I was buying from PPU that year. And I did not buy it. I guess I didn't like it at the time, but I was like, oh, you're so stupid. Why did you buy it?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
And that's what pisses me off, is like knowing that I had the opportunity, but I didn't take it.
Well, and that's true for a lot of people. So that's why it's just interesting to be like, which polishes become an icon.
yeah, definitely. Whenever that happens to any of my polishes, I'm like, oh, hey. Yeah. But to answer your original question, I don't really have a specific way of like destashing. I have been thinking about like writing down the names of them, or maybe even trying to separate them out, but I don't know what I would do with them if I separated, like if I took them out of my drawers and stuff, where would they go? Like,
yeah.
There would just be a box of nail polish in my room that I'm just like sitting on because I can't like sell it. And so many of them are not going to sell for like a price I want them to.
Yeah. I've done very little destashing, but I have found that shipping nail polish is just not worth it. It is so expensive to ship nail polish that it's like, I don't think I can ever, not that I'm trying to turn a profit or anything, but like get my, you know, not lose money selling a polish. That's ridiculous.
I don't really have any like solution. It's tough. It's tough out there to sell nail polish.
Yeah.
Even like mystery bags, people don't really care.
I like mystery bags. If you're selling one, I'd buy one.
Okay, great. I'm selling you one for $100.
Okay, but what's that? What's the MSRP on that?
Does it count if it was PR?
It does. It's like I don't care how much you paid for it. I care how much it's worth. Yeah. Yeah.
Easy. Done. I mean, $100 of like mystery bag nail polish would be a lot of nail polish.
Yeah, like, no, I was looking more for like a 10 or 25. That's what I expect from a mystery box.
Well, I was trying to sell like a bundle of like 5 nail polishes for literally like $10 or $15 at some point. And even then, like, some people still don't want to buy them. And I'm just like, just please take them away.
Please. Yeah,
please.
Because I don't want to throw them out. Like, that just seems so wasteful. And they're special in their own way. And, like, sometimes, like, a color is just really not complementary to my skin tone.
Mm.
I'm looking at you, Coral. But I just, you know, I don't want to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they don't deserve the trash can, but they also can't stay here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Stacey, let's end with some of your personal favorites. Like, do you prefer mainstream or indie polishes? Do you have a favorite color, finish, brush type? Tell us all of your favorite things.
Oh, this is a super easy question. So, my favorite type of brush is probably the rounded paddle brush. It doesn't get much better than that. I feel like even the wide ones that don't have that rounded tip, it just leaves, like, I feel like I could see on my nail the, like, straight streaks.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. So definitely the rounded tip is my favorite. And then I would say, dang, I already forgot what other favorite stuff you asked me about.
Colors, finishes, and, like, brands so far as mainstream versus indie.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So definitely prefer indie brands. I have tried to veer away from like too many mainstreams because I was trying to do the whole like staying away from animal tested nail polish type of stuff. It doesn't really happen anymore, I guess, but that's why I stopped buying OPI and I don't use them anymore. You could ask Stephanie. I even gave her some of my OPIs because I did not want them anymore.
I don't even remember what you gave me, but I believe you.
I honestly don't remember either. I gave Hillary some and I gave Stephanie some. And then that's all I remember. I kept a couple like rated PG because that was my favorite green from them. But very rare for me to have any mainstreams.
You have Orly's though, because you're on their PR list.
I say that, but... Well, Orly's not technically mainstream, right? There's the whole thing about how they're technically some, like, what is it? Boutique or something?
Mm-hmm.
They're made in-house. Just the house is really, really big.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, but I will say I do have China Glaze and Salon Perfect. I've never looked into if they're cruelty-free or not, but I don't want to because I like them.
Fair enough.
But favorite indie brands, like, in general, I would say Sweet and Sour Lacquer is probably one of my favorites, because they make a lot of really great shimmers and stuff. Mm. They actually have a polish coming out in March that is, like, one of my favorite things ever, because it's green. And then Polished for Days is also another top one because they have my favorite top coat, which is called Crystalline. The only downside is that they don't sell it in like a little like 4 ounce bottle for refills, that kind of thing. So I just have a bunch of like single bottles of the top coat that I just am collecting. So I love that top coat. I can't recommend it enough because it's 7 free, but it dries like it has toluene in it. Like, I don't know what she did to it, but it is so good. It is like, it honestly, to me, it's like the equivalent of Glisten and Glow's top coat. I also, like, if we're talking about toluene, Glisten and Glow and Sweet and Sour Lacquer have my favorite toluene top coats. Apparently their formula is the same, so I don't really know what the specific difference is between the two, but I like both of them equally, so those are my top 3 top coats.
Nice to know.
Yeah, I definitely recommend trying the Sweet and Sour one if it's the same ingredients. I don't know what could be different, but yeah, Polished for Days, Sweet and Sour, those are like probably my top 2 brands. I'm trying to think. Oh, and then I really like Cirque, even if people get mad at them for a bunch of different stuff.
I love Cirque.
We have a large Cirque collection.
Yeah, I have a large Cirque collection. I love their jellies. I think they do them very well. And I just like their polishes. Like, I think they're expensive, but if I really like it, I'll get it. Like, they just came out with that gold magnetic. What is it, Alchemy?
Oh, in their latest collection?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't looked too hard because I'm trying to do a low buy, and if I look too hard, I'll buy it.
No,
but
no, Danny, go look at it.
I'm looking at it right now.
But Cirque, no, magnetics go look. Are actually very good. Okay. Okay. I'll go look right now. Oh no.
Yeah, Cirque's the only company that I will just be like, okay, I will buy the magnetic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's because when I got Cirque Dream Within a Dream, I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. It's amazing. It's incredible. I love it.
One of my favorite polishes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I bought Blue Velvet from Cirque and I love it so much. I actually am going to try to get rid of my other Cirque magnetic because I think it looks too similar and I don't like it as much. Delphinus. It's just like more teal instead of blue, but the magnetic effect is like the same. But yeah, I love Cirque. I think that they do it well. They're the first indie brand that I bought from. So they have a special place in my heart.
I think me too, and it's because of Kelly Marissa.
Yeah, it was because of Kelly Marissa, because I watched her video on the Candy Coat collection that they released at the end of 2020 or in 2021, I don't remember. But I saw that collection and I bought the whole thing, I think, because I was like, oh, this is so good. And then I think I got KB Shimmer after that. And then, I don't know, where PPU, and here we are.
Yep. And then not long, it was, yep, we got them all.
Yeah. But I will probably be making a Cirque order to get that gold magnetic.
I finally found it. Yeah, Alchemy, it is quite nice. It's a nice bright gold, like really bright.
And I like it a lot. And also that black jelly with the silver magnetic line is so good too. So
that was a good one.
I'll probably be buying those two magnetics next from Sir.
I'll be buying next time they release the Vice collection, so I might be adding those to my cart.
I'm so excited. I was thinking about that this morning.
I'm glad to finally start seeing an end to all the endless limited edition collections that Cirque was doing.
Yes!
That was making me angry. I was like, I'm done with you, Cirque, but I wasn't really.
No, you're never really done with Cirque. Okay, I have some questions for you, Stacey. I know we just asked you a bunch of questions, but now it's my turn for my dumb questions that nobody likes.
Okay.
So, this is a series of 10 questions that I used to watch James Lipton ask on Inside the Actor's Studio because I was a theater kid and my mom was very supportive. And so she made me watch like all of that show. These allegedly were originally from Apostrophes, which is a French show by Bernard. I'm going to say Pivot, but he's probably Bernard Pivot. Whatever. anyway, so I'm going to ask you these questions, and it's just going to be a little off the cuff. And just give me your goodest answer. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite word?
After this podcast, I think it's crispy.
Fantastic. What is your least favorite word?
You know what? I'm going to go with your, as in Y-O-U-R, because I don't like how often people mess it up.
Like saying days of yore?
messing up your with you are.
Oh,
like
okay.
Common mistakes like that. They really drive me crazy, so... So, yeah.
Yeah. This does not have to be sexual, but it can. What turns you on?
I would say, favorite videos, like the ones you've been making. I love those because I literally live and breathe nail polish at this point. So, like, that's my entire, like, YouTube page is just videos, but yeah, those are my favorite, as well as like what I bought this month. So like Hillary's videos, I watch those every single month. I wait for them and I try to be featured in them.
I've heard about that. I've heard of this phenomenon.
that is, you know, it's like when you say turns me on, and then I'm just like, yes, like one of the turn-ons is me being mentioned by Hillary in that video.
Honestly, can relate. what turns you off?
That photo that you took of painting your nails very badly. I do not like that. And hang nails really are a big turn off. I hate that. Especially when I discover them as I'm driving to work, because that's when I'm looking at my hands and I'm just like, damn it, like now I have to wait until I get home. And there's a whole like 10 hours ahead before I can get there. Nope. Yeah, exactly.
You gotta bring a nipper.
I know. I need to buy an additional one just to have on hand.
Mm-hmm. What sound or noise do you love?
Renzo.
Oh.
his old man noises when he is. When he's sleeping and you just hear the, you know?
Yes.
It's so cute.
Aww.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Wind blow. No. my youngest cat, when he's meowing, that's really annoying. But I don't like a lot of sounds, I feel like. Like, certain sounds bother me because I feel like my ears get sensitive. So anything really bassy, like if there's a lot of like bass in a song, it really bothers me. Like, it bothers my ears, the vibration sound it makes. So I don't ever listen to anything super bassy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your favorite curse word?
So I don't know if it qualifies as a curse word, but one of my really good friends who is not online, she thinks I'm really dumb for it, but I really like calling people stupid head.
I love
That's
it.
So cute.
For me, it's very fulfilling.
I feel fulfilled.
And I know, and it's uncommon. I don't know anyone else calling people stupid head.
You've really made it your own.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? And you can apply this to what kind of like hobby would you want to like, what, you know, but, or you can just do your actual, any actual profession.
I think it would be really cool to work in like some fancy office that provides you free lunch. So probably in the tech industry or something. Basically anyone that provides me breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I would love a job like that. I don't care what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What profession would you not like to do?
I would not like to work in taxes. That sounds horrible. Really boring. Taxes.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I really liked your last Instagram post.
Oh my God, yes! God's on your gram. He's looking.
Exactly. The fact that it was so good that he looked at it himself. I mean.
I love that answer.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Stacy, for coming and being on the show. It's been a long time coming because we've been friends since before I even started my nail Instagram and before I started streaming in YouTube. So I feel like this was meant to happen eventually.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Anyway, it is enough for today. So, that's usually what I say. I want to change that someday. But anyway, but yeah, that is enough for today.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like to answer in future. You'd like to answer? Try again.
Sorry.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time when we taste test air fried versus deep fried crispy rat.
Stay lacquered.